Hey everybody, I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to ask you a question today. Are you facing a fire because of your steps of faith? You know, like a match that is struck and creates a fire, sometimes our mighty steps of faith can actually turn up the heat in our lives. And we might wonder, you know, did I do something wrong? But today, in today's podcast, we're going to see that the problems that we see in life, and especially problems that follow our steps of faith, are never the absence of God's presence, but actually an open door to see God's power. We are not alone inside of the fire. I want to talk to you today about finding faith to be fearless inside of a fire. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You know that we go to church and we sing all the songs about surrender. But when God calls us to take some scary steps, we might pull back and freeze. That actually putting our faith into action, sometimes it's very scary. And faithfulness will often lead us through a fire. We say we want to serve God, and oftentimes God will call us to do things that lead us through a fire. And maybe it's the fire of disappointing others, and maybe it's the fire of just walking out your purpose and feeling so overwhelmed. You see, faithfulness can often lead us through a fire, and fear of the fire may cause us to pull back, or we may decide to walk around it, or even away from it, or just freeze and do nothing out of our fear. But this prevents us from living fully for God by walking through it. Yes, sometimes our steps of faith will lead us through a fire. Are you faced with a fire today, even as you listen to this podcast, and you're afraid? You know that God is calling you to take a step, but the steps that He's calling you to take, well, they're not easy, and there's going to be difficulty, or it may be a problem that you face. Well, today what we're going to see is that problems that follow our steps of faith are not the absence of God's presence, but an open door to see God's power. But if we don't lean into that problem, if we walk around it or away from it instead of through it, we won't see God's power. There's a difference between being God's child and living led as His child. And sometimes God will ask us to do stuff that's just downright scary. And we might think to ourselves, you know what, I didn't sign up for this. Or when we're faced with it, we can become so fearful that we stay inside of our comfort zone, that we don't fully follow God. But when we don't fully follow God, we can't be the woman that God created us to be. And what I want you to see today inside of this podcast is that there's nothing to fear, that what has come against you will not consume you, because God stands together with you and is for you. Indeed, often the very steps that light up the world are the very catalyst to cause others to find that perfect love. What fire are you facing? And maybe it's that steps of faith are going to disappoint others. Maybe it's going to take you in a new direction that you're not comfortable with. I want to begin today by reading this passage. It's one of my favorites, from Isaiah 43. It says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me and you are honored. I love you. That is from Isaiah 41. And I love that part that says that when we walk through the fire of oppression, we will not be burned up. The flames will not consume us. You see, what God calls us to confront will never consume us, especially if He's calling it for us to walk through it. But we can't see God come through for us while we continue to stay inside of our comfort zone. And oftentimes our faithfulness to God can lead us through a fire, but fear might cause us to pull back and walk around it or away from it, preventing us from living fully by God by walking through it. And see, here's the thing, is that our focus determines our filter from which we make our decisions. And oftentimes we can look in at life and we can look in at our circumstance and we can look in what's going on and we can become very afraid. And inside of those feelings of fear, we either flight, go away from the problem, or we fight the problem without God, or we just freeze up and we don't do anything. But God has another way. He says He wants us to take our steps of faith and walk through that fire by knowing that we walk through that fire with Him. And what will give us that courage to do that? What will give us that courage is perfect love. You see, perfect love has the power to cast out fear by giving you the freedom to live fully for God and become the woman that God created you to be. But all of us know that when we're faced with a fire and when we have to make a decision, when there's a conflict in our life, when there's a problem or an issue, that we can fall back on flighting or freezing or fighting, or we can surrender to God. And so how do we make those decisions that when we're confronted with a fire, when things, they just don't make sense to us, how are we going to walk through them? I want to walk you through, just how you make those decisions. And the first thing that I want to say is that our focus determines our filter from which we make our decisions. Our focus determines our filter from which we make our decisions. Now, the Bible tells us Romans chapter 8 is a great chapter on this. And here's what it says, and I'm in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so inside of this passage, what we see is our continual conflict in our life, the mind of the flesh versus the mind of the Spirit. Now, a couple things in this passage is that we see that they're at conflict with each other. And we also see, it says, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, we have to make a decision one or the other. You know, who are we going to follow? Who are we going to follow? Is it going to be the Holy Spirit, or is it going to be the mind of the flesh? Now, our flesh will react to situations that are problems in our life, will freak out, will become afraid, and our flesh evaluates things very differently from a life with God, from us pressing into the Holy Spirit and hearing from God. And these two things will always be fighting inside of our minds. So God may be calling us, for example, to do something that's impossible. And our fleshly mind, you know, is going, don't do that. You know, you shouldn't do that. But we hear God and we hear His word and we hear from Him and we hear Him calling us to something that is very impossible. And see, what happens is that I can even, you know, become afraid and pull back inside of my comfort zone instead of leaning into where God is calling me. And when I lean into God, where God is calling me, I can have confidence inside of His word that I'm not alone in the impossible, in that thing that looks like it might consume me, that God is there for me. But we need to really, really pay attention to what our filter is and how we're making our decisions, and what our focus is will be our filter, the mind of the flesh versus the mind of the spirit. Now, the flesh operates certain ways, and what that means by the mind of the flesh, it means the flesh is conditioned by our former life apart from God. So it's all the shoulds in our life. For example, before we were led by God, before we lived to serve Him, maybe we were people pleasers like me, right? And so my shoulds were like this. I should try to please others and make them happy. I should have the approval of everyone around me. I should never be rejected. I should never say no. I should never express my feelings so that I can appear nice. I should never have conflict in my life. I should always try to do what others want or need from me. And so the I shoulds in my life, they governed me. And that's the mind of the flesh. It's been conditioned. And when you become born again, you know, Jesus Christ comes to live through you through the Holy Spirit, and He teaches us a new way to walk. And that might mean, for example, in this circumstance where I'm talking about pleasing others, that might mean that sometimes that I'm, you know, certainly pleasing others, but it means that I'm following God in doing that, that I'm saying, Lord, I'm serving You. I'm serving You first and foremost. And sometimes that means saying yes to others, but sometimes it also means saying no. So the mind of the flesh, how it was conditioned, and we all need to be aware and evaluate with how we've made decisions in the past, with how we conditioned ourselves. And maybe it is, maybe you weren't a people pleaser, but maybe it was very important to you to live by society's rules. And so that's what you felt like you should do. Or maybe it was that there were other conditions in your life that you always should do something. And so we need to really evaluate that. How did I live? How did I evaluate my decisions apart from God? Okay, so that's one way. It's the I shoulds. The next way, it's the I sees. In other words, that are to work to evaluate things, to make decisions by the mind. It also means what I perceive with my senses. So what I see, what I hear, right? And so when I live that way, I'm living based off of my circumstances, based off of what I can see. And of course I lived that way because that's how I learned how to make decisions. But God says, you know what, you're not in this alone. Now I want you to follow the mind of the Spirit, right? And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So in other words, God may be calling you to do something that you perceive as impossible, right? And from looking at the facts, you still believe this is impossible, right? But you know that you've heard from God. And so you take those steps of faith, right? Because what you perceive with your senses, that may not be lining up with where God is calling you to go. The next thing, too, that pulls on us that we use to evaluate decisions with is what we perceive, our feelings, our desires, and our feelings are formed really by our thoughts, right? And so oftentimes, when we're faced with steps of faith, and we see that beyond the steps of faith, there's going to be fire. And maybe it is that God's calling you to make a hard decision with a relationship in your life. And you know that when you say no to this person, that they're going to be, you see the fire coming, but he's saying to you, walk through this with me. And when we don't follow him, then we might sit on the sidelines and we might stay inside of our comfort zone, but we're missing out on fully becoming the woman that God created you and I to be. That's what we're missing out on. And a lot of times it is scary. That's why Jesus says, when you follow me, you got to count the cost, that it's not going to be easy. Right? That he is going to ask you, put you in situations that seem impossible. But what we need to remember is that we're not in there alone, and that it's an opportunity, that problems in our life, they're the very platform for God to reveal his power. And what if we leaned into that fire? What if we didn't flight from it or fight it? What if we leaned into that because we know that we heard from God, we have a word from him? And what if that fire was the very thing that God would use like a match, like to light up his glory through our lives? You see, oftentimes, I'll go to church and I'm so sincere about my desire to surrender, but then the rubber hits the road, and I see that surrender sometimes means that I'm gonna have to let go, that I have to make some really hard decisions, sometimes scary decisions, decisions that will put me in a place where my only choice is to trust God. In fact, right now I'm making that decision that, just inside of that scary place where it's just, a matter of trusting God. And it's very scary. But if we have the word of God, if we know that we're following God, that's what can give us courage. Now, also inside of this Romans passage, we see this, that we can't serve both. We can't serve the flesh and the spirit, that we have to decide who we're going to serve. You see, when we become born again, we have the Holy Spirit within us, but we will have the responsibility of the choice of who we're going to bow down to. When we have the Holy Spirit in us, when we're born again, we will still have to make the choice of who we're going to bow down to. And that's because God operates through perfect love. And love, authentic love, it never controls. It always invites. In other words, love cannot exist without choice. Love cannot exist without choice, because if somebody, and anytime I talk about this concept. I always say, you know, think about this in your relationships, because if someone is trying to control you, it's not real love, because love needs to choose. And so when God came here, he gave us his son, right? But he invites us to follow him, but we must choose to follow him. And then even after we've made the choice to become his child, and the Bible says that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that by faith we become his child. Even after I've made that decision, that there's a difference between being God's child and living led as his child. In other words, no decision I ever make will take away the fact that I'm God's child. And because I'm God's child, God is committed to care for me and to be with me. And his love is absolutely unconditional. But what I might miss out on is the peace and the joy and really the journey of the faith walk, of walking with him. See, I can have peace, and we can have even just this crazy comfort even in the midst of the fires of life when we are under the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we have to choose. We have to choose. And that's the hard part. Sometimes I want to say, God, can't you make me a robot so that I always choose you, right? Because the flesh always fights with the spirit, right? It's always in that conflict. But what we need to remember is what we focus on will be our filter for which we make those decisions. And if we're looking at the flames, or we're looking at our circumstances, or we're listening to the ways that we used to evaluate things instead of walking by faith and not by sight, then we will react in fear. We will freeze up. We may, walk away in flight and not walk in the fullness of who God created us to be. The other thing is that we'll become bound, because listen to this, whatever I bow down to is what I am bound to. Whatever I bow down to is what I am bound to. In other words, when I used to be a people pleaser, boy, was I in bondage to what other people thought about me. And so life was about controlling people's perceptions of me. And it was a prison of sorts. And, you know, but God says, you know, the word says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so when I'm bound to God, when I'm bound to the Holy Spirit, that's where freedom is. That's where I can become truly the woman that God created us to be. And when I focus on the correct filter of letting God speak to me through his word, I can follow him and press into whatever it may be. And it could be a fire, right? Lean into that. And here's the thing. It could perhaps be that the fire that God is calling you to walk through is the very thing that will free you. In other words, if you've lived your life as a people pleaser, he may present a fire for you to walk through for you to find your freedom. But ultimately, if God has presented you with a fire, oftentimes, you know, that if we take steps of faith and we walk through this overwhelming thing, oftentimes that it is those very things that are placed in our life that actually become this platform that for God to reveal his power and literally turning the flames that we face in our faith walk into the very light that leads others to experience perfect love for themselves. I want to take you into the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. And I've been walking through the book of Daniel inside of my quiet time, and I've read this story many times before. And if you were brought up in church, you've always heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But this week, it just struck me in particular at the courage that these three had when they were getting ready to face a fire. And so I want us to gain some inspiration today from that story and just walk through this. And whatever fire you're facing, I pray that you will find faith in it to continue to follow the Lord. So I'm going to give you the background, and I'm in Daniel chapter 3, but basically King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon and the Israelites, they were banished into Babylon. They used to, of course, live inside of the land of Judah, but they disobeyed God, and part of what resulted from that is that they were deported to Babylon. Not all the Israelites, but some of them. And so here are these Israelites, and they found themselves inside of Babylon, which they don't worship the one true God. And so they're just all differences. And so the Israelites that are there, they're wanting to stay true to the one true God, despite the leadership in that area. And Nebuchadnezzar is the king at the time. And what Nebuchadnezzar decides to do is he builds this huge statue. And after he builds it, he demands that everybody bow down to this. It says, he says this in verse 5, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, the lyre, the harps, the pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. And anyone who refuses to obey will be immediately thrown into the furnace. And so the Babylonians, of course, out of fear, did this, right? They followed King Nebuchadnezzar because they knew that he was serious, but not three of the Israelites, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not do this. And it says that some of the astrologers find out about this, and they go to the King Nebuchadnezzar, and they basically tell on them. They say this: they refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue that you set up. Well, it says that Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. And don't we see that in our own lives, that when we stop bowing down to pleasing others or just, you know, the ways that other people have been accustomed to, that sometimes that can disappoint others. But anyway, it says that Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And so basically, they're brought before him, and Nebuchadnezzar tells them, he says to them, you know what? If you refuse, you will be immediately thrown into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now listen to this. They decided a long time ago that they were going to serve the one true God. And so the answer to this was easy. And see, that's what you and I need to do. Sometimes our flesh can be like that Nebuchadnezzar in our life. Do you know what I'm saying? It can gnaw at us, and it can demand the shoulds from us, and it can just, you know, put this weight on us. And we have to decide, you know what? I'm not going to bow down to that anymore. I'm going to bow down only to God. That the focus for the filter of my decisions is on the Lord Almighty. And I love their response. And you can just hear the peace and the respectfulness in their voice, but just their confidence in God and in their position. It says this in verse 7, starting in verse 16. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, you know, it's really quite awesome that they didn't freak out. They start out with, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. And I love this part. We do not need to defend ourselves before you. Let me stop there. If God has given you a word, you don't need to defend yourself. You really don't. It says, they say, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. And so they made it clear that basically that they were not considering the outcome, that they were not worried about what would happen, but what was their primary focus was they were going to be faithful to God. And that's the same kind of decisions that you and I need to make. And that takes courage. That takes courage. But see, they had already decided that they're not going to bow down to other gods. They're not going to bow down to the Nebuchadnezzar. And there will always be things inside of our flesh that pull at us to bow down to. But when we focus on the right filter, which is the Spirit of God, and letting the Lord lead us, that you and I can live free, because whatever we bow down to is what we're bound to. But the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now listen to what happens. It says in verse 19 that Nebuchadnezzar was so furious. It says that his face became distorted with rage. And you know, when we start to say no to our flesh, it is never easy. It becomes harder. You can think of your flesh just raging out at you, wanting to make, you know, these new decisions for you, right? And just pushing you. And initially, when you begin to choose God over your flesh, it's not easy. Your flesh like comes back with a vengeance, just like Nebuchadnezzar, right? And so it says he commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. And don't we see that? In fact, the Bible talks about the fact that when demons go away, that they bring others back with them that are more powerful. And I think that when we're in that battle between flesh and spirit, we need to understand, quite frankly, that it's not going to be easy, that it does heat up the fire, that it will be a battle, and that our flesh is not going to want to bow down to the Spirit. But it's our mind, when we focus, that Romans passage says that when we focus our mind on the Spirit of God, we're going to be talking about how to do that, that where our focus is determines our filter, and that will help us to make the right decisions. And so we can just see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not focused on their circumstances. They were not focused on that crazy Nebuchadnezzar. What they were focused on was this. And it's very clear in their verbiage that they're focused, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Have you made that decision? I will not bow down. I will not worship anymore. I will not be a pleaser anymore, right? You make that decision that's your focus, right? And so the story in the Bible goes on to say this. The Word of God goes on to say that they ordered these strong men. They tied up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that Nebuchadnezzar turns up the fire. And that's oftentimes what our steps of faith will do, that when you are following the Holy Spirit, you know, it's like it becomes harder initially and the fire is turned up. Well, what can happen is we can get scared, we can back down, we can want to quit. And what I want to just encourage you with today and inspire you, don't stop choosing Jesus. Don't stop choosing the way that God wants you to go. Keep on making those choices. No matter what you see, no matter how much you're afraid, just keep on making those choices. And then it says that the soldiers who put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, that the fire was so hot that the soldiers, it says that they fell into the roaring flames, and that it killed the soldiers, okay? It killed the soldiers, but not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In fact, all of a sudden, it says this, verse 24, but suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Did we tie up the three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we surely did," they replied. Verse 25, "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." And so it says when they stepped out of the fire that not a hair on their heads was singed and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Don't you just love that? Now, a couple of things in here. Do you see their focus? Their focus was on following God. And in the wording here, it says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." See, we have to decide who we are going to serve. And what will give us courage to serve God is perfect love. In other words, like we say in Christmas time, Emmanuel means God with us, God together with us, that there's nothing that we face that we don't face alone. And then it says this, "Praise be," that Nebuchadnezzar says, "Praise be to the God Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted him. They defiled the king's command and were willing to die rather than to serve or worship any god but their own God." See, that's the kind of focus that we need to be able to make those good decisions. And oftentimes, we'll have the Nebuchadnezzar of our feelings, right? That will just, you know, will just pull at us, or the Nebuchadnezzar of how we used to evaluate things, the I shoulds in our life, or the Nebuchadnezzar of our circumstances, just what seems so crazy, right? And it's in those times that what we need to do is we need to press into the presence of God, because the presence of God, is, in other words, inside of that fire. The Bible tells us, it says this, "Look, I see four men unbound," Nebuchadnezzar says this as he's looking into the fire, "walking around the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." And most theologians believe that that's the Lord Jesus Christ with them inside of the fire. And whatever fire we are facing, you know, the fires that follow our steps of faith, and make no mistake about it, there's refining fires, and there's all kinds of fires in our life, right? But what we need to know is that we don't walk in the fire alone, that Jesus is with us. Emmanuel, God with us, God for us. And what that means beyond Christmas time, because we were beyond the Christmas story, is the Easter story, which is the resurrection, which means the Holy Spirit lives within me. Now, Monday, you know, life fell apart for me, cray cray, just kind of life went crazy. And it was so much so that I couldn't think correctly. I was literally so captivated by fear. There's a huge step that I feel like God wants me to take in my life personally in a situation personally and professionally, and both are so scary. And both of them, I've come right to the edge many times before, but then I've fell back and I've just stayed inside of my comfort zone. And what I hear God calling me to do is to lean in and to press in. But I'll admit to you, it's hard because I look at the circumstances and it makes me fearful. And the circumstances, I was staring at just the reality of them, I guess, and it overwhelmed me. It felt like the flames were too overwhelming, and I wanted to fall back, and I wanted to quit, and I didn't want to move forward. And you know what I did? On Tuesday, I said, God, I just need to get alone with you. I just want to hear your presence. I just want to hear your word to me, right? Because the way that relationship works, that we're connected to each other through words, and that God speaks, that when women were here when you look inside of the Gospels, you see the way that Jesus interacted with women and the words that he spoke to them, it changed their lives. They saw themselves differently. They saw God differently, and they began to live differently. Well, God with us, God for us, now is through the Holy Spirit, and we have access to that 100% all day, every day. You can press into God. You can pull away from the world and just say, God, I need a word from you. I need to feel your presence. And you know what? God's presence is always with us. But sometimes when the heat turns up, that we just get so overwhelmed, it's hard to hear. And it's at that point that we need to say, you know what? I need to stop calling everybody and asking for advice. And I need to consider the counsel of God. I need to get a word from God. Because here's the thing, God did give me a word. He gave me that word really through this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And because I have that word, I have confidence. My circumstance haven't changed. I know that God is asking me to take a very scary step. But you know what? I know that he has my back. And I know that I don't take this step alone. And that's really what Emmanuel means to you and I today. That at the birth of Christ, it meant that God dwelt among them. Now it means that God dwells within you or me. And that means that the divide was closed, that there's no fire, there's no circumstance, there's nothing in our lives that can ever separate us from God, other than us walking away from God. And basically what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying was, you know what, fire or no fire, lose or win, I just want to be where God wants me to be. And I know that God doesn't want me worshiping that God. And you know what? God doesn't want you to be bound in the worship of just fear or trying to figure things out. He wants you to find that freedom that can come from only following him. And I know that it's hard. I was there in the beginning of this week, and it's still scary. It's still fearful. And that's why when you look inside of many circumstances, many times in the Bible, God is telling people, do not be afraid. I am with you. He said that to Joshua. He said that to Mary when she was birthing Christ. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I bring you good news. And so we need to hear from God directly. We need to press into his presence for a word from him. And so inside of this story, what not only happens is it says this. I don't know if you caught this when I was reading this. It says, I see four men unbound. And I want you to remember that they might have been in the fire, but they were free. And sometimes you and I need to say no to the things in our former life that we've bowed down to so that we can live in the freedom. And a good friend of mine once told me this before I was making a very hard decision. In fact, I knew that people weren't going to be happy with me when I made this decision, that many people wouldn't understand. And what she said to me was this, and I never forgot it, is that freedom isn't free. That, in other words, to find that liberty of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it means saying no, getting yourself out of an unhealthy relationship, for example, getting yourself out of an unhealthy circumstance, and that it means that we will have to make these hard choices, that when we follow God, you know, really the battle just begins, that the heat turns up in our life, that saying yes to God, that the flesh fights after that, right? But it is with what we need to remember is that true freedom is being where God is doing what He says to do. That's true freedom. It was not following Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and sometimes we can even just get bound up. We might be inside of an abusive relationship maybe it's an abusive work situation, and you think, well, I should follow them. I should do what they're telling them, but really, anything else, whether it's our feelings or another person, if they're demanding control over our lives, that we bow down, we need to back off from that relationship because it's not healthy. You see, wise women will guard their hearts to give themselves fully to God. And it's only when we do that that we can truly become the woman that God created us to be, because it's only God that can lead us into the fullness of our purpose. So I want to just give you some things, like some to-dos. And the first thing is that when you face a fire, it's natural to feel afraid. So, you know, don't worry about that. Like, it's okay to feel fear, but let the fear let it remind you of faith, replace it with faith, and say to yourself, God is ready to do something amazing. God is getting ready to do something amazing in my life. That when I hear God calling me to do something and it creates fear in my life because I see a fire coming, right? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that they were going to face the fire. I mean, maybe you're listening today and maybe you just don't confront people when God is calling you to confront somebody in love. And to me, you know, that's a scary thing to do, right? But if God is calling us to do this and we know that it's going to happen, that, you know, we can't avoid it, that we've got to confront it. And so God is calling us to this. And it's natural to feel fear, and that's okay. But don't let the fear stop you from following. Say to yourself that God is getting ready to do the amazing. And it's actually when I step into this situation that is so hard that I'm going to see His power come through, right? And so don't be afraid. Get ready to be amazed. That's the first thing. Number two is to pray. It is to pray. It is to pause and pray. You know, consider God, bring Him into the equation, and ask God first. If you don't have peace about something, pause. Okay. And a fire, that will not give you peace, right? That's not going to give you peace. But it could be that God still wants you to take those steps of faith. When you pull back and pause and pray and ask God for a word, that's what will give you confidence inside of the fire. So go to God first and pray and ask Him. James 1 tells us to ask God. Like, you know, because what'll happen is, and he's talking about doubt. And what'll happen is that when we face difficulties, we might doubt, okay, did I really hear from God? Because I'm taking these steps of faith and there's a fire that's erupting. And, you know, did I really hear God? And it's at that point that you've got to pause and pray. Don't try to figure it out. Just pause and pray. James says, ask God for wisdom. Okay. And so number three is to dig into God's word and wait for your word. The presence of the Holy Spirit means that God speaks to us. And I just can't even articulate to you over this podcast how fearful I was on Monday going to bed. I'm not kidding you. Like, I didn't sleep on Monday. because I was so fearful about a fire. I know that God is calling me to walk in a personal circumstance in my life and also professionally. And it's scary to me. It is really scary. And I don't have all the steps and I don't have it all figured out. But you know, I didn't sleep on Monday night. And on Tuesday, I said, God, I just want to hear from you today. I just need wisdom. And after spending time in his presence and after digging into his word, you know what I have? Not changed circumstances, not the fire is all out, but I have the peace of God. And that peace came through a word, through a promise that he gave to me. All right, so we want to dig into God's word. And number four is this, that we also want to do God's word. Now notice that inside of here, several times, that Nebuchadnezzar, you know, refers to them as servants of gods. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego see this, Your Majesty, we will never serve other gods. And so there's this idea of serving, and a servant does, it does, right? It acts on whatever word is spoken. I love when inside of the Christmas story, going back to that, when the angel comes to Mary and explains to her how it's going to all happen, right? That the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her, and Mary says, Mary says, may it be to me as you have said. I am the Lord's servant, and so when we are God's servants, that we do God's word. We put our faith into action. And sometimes what'll happen to me is that God will give me a word and I'll have peace on it. But then I might look again and see that fire and the flames and I become afraid, right? Maybe it's something, you know, that's just so big and impossible that God's called you to do and you become afraid. And so you pull back and you freeze and you don't do what God has called you to do. And so we have to go back to that word. And like I said before, we also have to choose to do it. See, God will call you to do it, but he will never force you to do it. And in order for us to walk in the fullness of who God's created us to be, we have to put our faith in action and we just have to choose to do it. And there comes a point in time where we have to stop asking. You know, we can ask God, but then in James it says, in chapter 1, you can read this, it says, but once you ask, don't doubt. In other words, once you have your word, you just hang on to it and you do it. You don't discuss it with a bunch of friends. Because loving people, people that love you will talk you out of it. You just do it. You just do it. You don't have to defend yourself. And here's the other thing, is that that God will give you people to walk with you in the fire with, but he will show you who those people are, right? That Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had each other, and all of them were focused on following God. And here's the confidence that we can have. When we know that love is perfect, that's where we can have our confidence. See, perfect love has the power to cast out fear because it gives us the freedom to fully live for God. And we hear that in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's comments. They said, if we're thrown into the blazing fire, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you set up. So there's confidence in the calling on their life that they're not cowering down inside of that fear. And so they have God's word and they have God's peace. You see, problems provide a platform for God to reveal his power. And oftentimes, you know, It turns the flames that we faith in our faith walk into the very light that leads others to experience perfect love. And that's what happened because Nebuchadnezzar recognized the power of God. And see, when we walk into a problem and when God delivers us from that, nobody else can say, you know, that it was you that did it. It just shines light right on God, and it leads other people to Christ. And I want to ask you a question. Could it perhaps be that the fire you are facing is there so that others will follow Jesus? Is that perhaps the fire that you're facing? And what if you and I made the courageous choice to lean into our callings and to lean into the fire and to get outside of our comfort zone? Sometimes we have to face our fears, not fight our fears, or not fight Nebuchadnezzar, right? But to just face our fears by taking those steps of faith. So don't be afraid. Pray, dig into God's word, and then you want to be a doer of God's word. Now, I want to leave you today with this. I want to encourage you that what I said here today was that God, you know, I know that I have a word from Him. And that's because part of pressing into the Holy Spirit and how we have that focus and how we have that mind of Christ and how we are able to follow the Holy Spirit is by digging into that word every day and approaching our Bible in such a way that we allow room for the Holy Spirit to speak. And in my own life, I was in Bible study for years. But when I changed my approach to Bible study, it literally changed my life. And that is why I developed the Nourish Bible Study Method and the 21-Day Challenge. And so I want to leave with this. I want to invite you to take the 21-Day Challenge and find out about the Nourish Bible Study Method. At Treasure Ministries, we are all about providing resources for women that help women to change the way that they do Bible study in order to transform their lives. Because without the power of God, there is no transformation. And it's only by leaning into Him that we can really live for Him and become the woman that God created you to be. And that's what we want. And sometimes it's those fires that are actually there to give us freedom. You know, it's that confrontation that you need to have that when you walk through it, you'll realize that you're free from, right, the power of pleasing others or just that fear of confronting others. Sometimes we have to take those steps of faith. And so that is the podcast today, that finding faith to be fearless inside your fire comes from evaluating things from what I call an Emmanuel perspective. In other words, God with me, God for me. And that Romans 8, 5 through 8 that talks about the mind of the flesh versus the mind of the spirit, that's always going to be waging war. But that through that inspiration of perfect love, that you and I can have courage to follow the Holy Spirit. And that by digging into the Word, that we change our focus, and what we focus on will be our filter for making the decisions. So I want to invite you to go to www.nourishbiblestudymethod.com and take our 21-day challenge so that you can learn the Nourish Bible Study Method and begin your journey of learning how to discern God's voice in your life so that you can become the woman God created you to be. Thanks so much for listening in today, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.